1 Timothy this morning. 1 Timothy, I'll preach to you quick. Got a message for you. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We got the kids going next door. Amen. See, we're helping the mothers out. We even take your children over there for Sunday school. Give you a little bit of time. Before we get started on there, like I say, we all may not be mothers, but we all had a mother. And you know what an impact our mothers had on our lives over the years. Carried us for 9 months, sacrificed so that we could have things, and they went without. Nursed us, tended our wounds, calmed our fears. Taught us the Word of God and things that we still remember to this day. I can remember a lot of times with, of course, my wife knew my mom real well, and there's certain ways that my mother would do things or certain things that you wouldn't do them away, and we'll be doing something around the house, and I'll say, that's not the way Rosa would do it, we both of us together will do it, or that's the way, we do. And little things like my mom was a real, I'm always a stickler about the blinds. I already see a set of blinds I got to fix when church is over with, where people back. My mom, she would get them blinds, and it was against the rule to have the blinds touching the board there across the, you had to have them down there real close, but now they couldn't be laying on them all stacked up at the bottom. She said that didn't look good. You had to have them down there close, but they couldn't be touching, and you have to get them level. So to this day, when I do the blinds, man, I get them things because my mom instilled that, and a lot of other things, and all of us have memories like that. I had a quote here, a little thing that Thomas Edison had written about his mother. We all know Thomas Edison, famous inventor. He said, "I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence which has lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I can never lose. If it had not been for her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I should never likely have become an inventor. I was always a careless boy, and with a mother of a different spiritual caliber, I should have turned out badly, but her firmness, her sweetness, her goodness were potent powers to keep me in the right path. My mother was the making of me." And so, I think the influence, and I know the influence that our mothers have had over us, my mother's been gone a little over 10 years now. But you know what, like I say, certain things that are instilled in me that my mother, the way she was, will last. Obviously, I haven't changed in 58 years. I don't guess I'm going to about certain things there that she influenced me in. But I know we can all, those of us that don't have our mother, we hear our mother's voice, just telling us right things, don't put your elbows on the table, dress a certain way for a certain occasion, use your manners. That's something that our mothers usually taught us to do. The text I want to look at today, well, I got a couple of verses. I got one in 1 Timothy chapter, or 2 Timothy chapter 1, and then also in chapter 3. There's some verses that I want to look at. I think we can take some things, a little hint of a mother's influence. The Apostle Paul had written a letter to a young preacher, actually a young pastor named Timothy, and I'll pull a couple verses out of there for us to look at and see the influence that his mother and actually his grandmother as well had on his life. But in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son," and he wasn't actually his son, but he looked at him like a son, "grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. And when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." And then right over in chapter 3, just over one page, and Paul had been speaking for some time to Timothy in this letter. In verse 14, he said in chapter 3, verse 14, he tells Timothy this, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts now through your word. I pray that all the mothers here today be encouraged, Lord, as those that are still raising their families, Lord, and actually we never are finished, I guess, raising our families. But, Lord, give them wisdom. Lord, give us all wisdom and encourage them with their families and raising their kids. And help each one understand the influence that they have on their family, on their children's lives. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Of course, we see there some things in the verse, those verses there. And the very first word I want you to look at is in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. He said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." That word unfeigned there means not hypocritical, or it means genuine. And what the Apostle Paul is speaking to Timothy about, that Timothy had a genuine and an unfeigned faith, and that he learned that genuine and unhypocritical faith from his mother and both his grandmother. You know, when I came along, they had a saying out. Sometimes they would say, "Don't do as I do, do as I say do." But I don't think that's a very effective way to raise your children, because they want to be, see an example. I don't believe that Timothy's mother or grandmother used that phrase on him. I believe that they said, "Do as I say do, and do as you see me do." That's the way to raise your children, that they had a positive impact in their own life. Because here's the thing, I think that he saw their that genuine faith and their that unhypocritical faith in the everyday lives as well as in their words. And I think Timothy's mother was a woman that had her priorities straight. And that she left Timothy with some things more valuable than silver and gold that she could have left behind. But she left this example of a godly life to him, and the conviction that she had about her faith. And so I just have four points that I want us to look at. One thing that she left behind, and one thing that we do with a family and mothers in particular, is we see the word structure. In verse 14 and 15 of chapter 3, it said, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." I believe the Apostle Paul not only was speaking of himself and some of the earlier Christians that Timothy had learned, but also back to his mother, grandmother. It said that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So we know that Timothy was taught the Scriptures from an early age. Look up in verse 13, I didn't read it, but right above there, just before Paul said that, he said, "Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Yesterday, I didn't mention this either, but yesterday we had the men's prayer breakfast down at North Star Restaurant, and we had about 9 men showed up. And Philip Metter, first time he taught the did the little devotion for us right there. He was nervous as a cat, of course, but he got it out. And we had a little discussion about some of this right here. It brought us the verse that he selected, brought this thought right here. But here's the thing. I'm going to tell you about life and apart from God. The Bible teaches us that life apart from God, the people are only going to wax worse and worse and worse. I mean, sin is a slippery slope that people are on without Christ. You're not going to get better and better, and society's not going to get better and better, but society and individual people will wax worse and worse and worse. Evil men will wax worse. But those that are trusting Christ, the converse is true, that those that, when we teach our children things from the Bible, the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, and we show them Jesus Christ and teach them by example how to put faith in Jesus Christ, and then they put faith in Christ. I'm going to tell you what, we're not going to be perfect, but I'll tell you, the life in Christ, I'll tell you what, we're going to get better and better and better. What the Bible tells, one day we're going to be like Christ. because we'll you know, there may be some steps back, no doubt, in our walk with Christ, but there'll be more steps forward, and that's a thing that we can look to. And I wanted to see this this word here, this thought, strong conviction. I want to say this to the mothers here today, and those particularly, as I said earlier, you're never done raising your children. You're never done raising your children. It doesn't matter how old they get. You know, my mom, I don't care how old I was. My mother would say, "You going to wear that? You going to go out looking like that?" And I'd say, "Well, kind of looking." She would want me to do everything right, even when I was up in my 40s. You know, she still wanted me to advise me on certain things. And you know, we always do that. That's because what moms do. But I want to say this, you can't teach your children anything. I don't care what it is that you don't have convictions, strong convictions about it yourself. You'll never tell your children that they need to get saved and they need to put faith in Jesus Christ if you yourself don't have a strong conviction about putting faith in Christ yourself. They can't just hear it. You know, they have got to see it. There has got to be a strong conviction about that without hypocrisy, unfeigned faith, a genuine faith. And that's an important thing. Listen, I could sell, I believe, as if I was a salesman, I tell you, I could not sell anybody anything if I didn't believe it myself. I just wouldn't have enough conviction about it. There's some things in life I could sell them. Huh? I can sell you a Kirby vacuum cleaner, man. They're good vacuum cleaners, man. They're expensive. I'll tell you what, I know the whole routine. They don't even need to train me. Give me one, I'll take it out and sell. I like it, man. They're good. I can sell you a Harley Davidson. I like those, even though mine haven't. There's some things in life I could sell you that I would have conviction enough about to convince you, if that's what you want, this is the one to get. But you know what? And about our faith in Christ, and this goes to all Christians. Listen, if you don't have a strong conviction about Jesus Christ, you'll never convince somebody else that they need to get saved. You'll never convince somebody else that that's the way to go, to follow Christ. You've got to have it, because when you have a conviction about something, you'll live it. And I'm going to tell you another thing, Mom and Dad, not only can adults do this, but your kids will see through it. They can see through hypocrisy faster than you can blink. Huh? You can tell them all you want. You can have your Bible laying on the coffee table with a coffee stain on top of it. You can tell them everything, but if you're not living it, don't ask me to pray for your spouse. Don't ask me to pray for your child if you're going to shoot my prayers down with your life at home. Huh? There's no point. There's no point in it. You've got to live it yourself, and your children have got to see it. Man, moms, your children need to see you reading your Bible. Huh? Your children need to hear you praying with them. Those things, I have to have a strong conviction about this to teach. And I believe that Timothy saw that in his mother and in his grandmother as well. And he continued, Paul said, continue in what you've learned. They weren't just acting Christians. See, we all know how to play the game, right? Huh? We know how to say, amen, brother. Amen, brother Boone. Amen. Huh? Oh, yeah, praise God. We know how to pray. We know how to carry our Bible. We can act. That's what actually the actors and the hypocrites, that's where that came from, is playing like, acting like someone else. That word hypocrite, a play act. They didn't sit and pretend on Sunday that they were Christians. They lived it every day of the week. They didn't act one way at church and then act another way at home. At a very young age, it said in verse 15 there, it said, has learned from a child the Holy... They taught him from a very young age. Listen, it's never too soon to start teaching your children. I'll tell you what, I don't know what some people wait for when it comes to teaching their kids about a lot of things in life. You know, that one pastor friend of mine, he's not pastor any longer, retired, but you know, they quit having children's church on Sunday night. He said, because at what point do we teach a child how to act in church? 12? 21? When do we finally say, Johnny, hey, listen, this is how you ought to look. This is how you ought to dress. This is how you ought to act. This is how you ought to sit there and be quiet and listen to what the preacher has to say. When do we do that? It's never too young. It's never too young to start. And so she taught him from a very early age. I've read this before and some different things, but I read about Susanna Wesley, the mother of Charles and John Wesley. They're more famous, the Methodist movement. You know, they were preachers and in her day, famous preachers, wrote a lot of books, touched a couple continents for Christ in their day. But those weren't the only kids she had. She had 17 other children, 19 children. Woo-wee! I can't imagine. I don't want to find it. But 19 children. Listen to this. She took each child aside for 1 hour each week to teach and discuss the principles of spiritual living. 19 hours a week. 19 hours a week we're going to be devoted to them children to teach and discuss the principles of spiritual living. Listen, I'm going to tell you another thing, mothers. Here's another point. When you get to be a mother, you're more or less an adult. We would assume nobody's going to make you do it. There's nobody going to come along and make you do it. You know, you've got to take the bull by the horns, so to speak, and you're the ones that's got to have conviction about what you're going to do, and you've got to do it. You've just got to do it. Nobody else is going to come and make you raise your children in a godly way. You have to do it. You have to be the one. The second thing we're going to see is a Savior in verse 15. It says, learn that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. It, you know, that scripture seems to indicate that Timothy was saved prior to meeting Paul, that he was saved at least or knew how to be saved at a very early age. His mother Eunice taught him. His grandmother probably taught him. His grandmother had taught his mother, taught him the scriptures and led him to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now see, listen, Mom, you can't get saved for your kids, but you can lead them, take them to the person of Christ, lead them to Christ and introduce them to Christ to be saved. I mean, that's what we do. That's all we can do. We pray for them, but we take them to that. And that's what she did. And listen, church is a good thing. The Bible, as a matter of fact, commands us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're not assembling tonight, by the way, not having night service, but the rest of the Sundays, most of the Sundays of the year, we have church on Sunday night and we have church on Wednesday night. Mom, it'd be a good idea to bring your children. Be as dedicated to being around godly things as we are. Some of the other things the world are pulling us towards. I'll talk about that in a minute. But the church is good. But I'm going to tell you what. Teaching about Christ ought to begin at home. You got a lot more time with your children than we do as the pastors and Sunday school teachers at your church. See, I'm not going to be able to compensate in an hour or two for not learning anything the other 6 days of the week, or 5 days of the week, depending on where you go with. You know, you'll have a greater influence at home with your life, with your lifestyle, with lessons, looking at the Bible. That'll have a greater impact than what I'm going to be able to do. I'm not going to be able to do it. The Sunday school teachers aren't. They can help. They can help it. But, buddy, I'm telling you what, you can undo a whole lot of what gets done here in a few minutes at home. And you can also have an impact on what gets taught here at home in a positive way. And so at home is where the teaching about Christ should begin. And let's not, you know, we're talking to the mothers today, and it's certainly the father's responsibility to be the spiritual leader of the house, and we'll talk about them on Father's Day, no doubt. But it's the mothers. And right now that we're speaking about, the mothers can have an influence. You know, a lot of times, and in those days, you know, the fathers worked and the mothers raised their children at home. They were taking care of the home thing. So the mother, in a way, had a very, very big impact, maybe a bigger impact on the child's life than the father did, the father that maybe had to be away and had to work. The mother was around the children. And then we see the next point is the scriptures as well, the Holy Scriptures in verse 15. The Word of God, the words of life. You know, we talk about that. You hear that phrase a lot. About this being the Word of God. You know, he went on, I didn't read that far. In verse 16, it said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration there. That means this. It means it was God-breathed. That man penned it down, but man as being overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, and God breathed down on those men without changing their personalities, inspired them to write what he wanted them to say. And, you know, we hear it so much, and those of us been saved a long time, that this is the Word of God. But this is God's Word to man. God breathed. I mean, God inspired it. And people have said it this way, that it doesn't contain the Word of God, but it is the Word of God. What a priority this ought to have in our life. The Word of God. What God, you know, because listen, what I've got to say is not as important as what God's got to say. What anybody's got to say is not as important as what God has to say. And so what a priority it should have. We have so much emphasis on the things that the world will cook up. Think what our children would be like spiritually if we spent as much time with them in the Word of God as we do dragging them to ball games and swimming lessons and music lessons and all that. If we spent, and there's nothing wrong with that, but if we put that much emphasis on teaching our children the Word of God. Daryl and I were talking about people that go, they got the travel ball things and all that, and if you're into that, that's fine and dandy. But man, what amount of time that consumes. Man, you got to go away from home every week. I talked to a man one time years ago, and he said, well, you know, we belong to such and such a church, but we're just never there in the summertime because we got travel ball. Man, we're going every weekend. Every week, I got a guy just installed some carpet. Man, he's into all that. But yeah, we travel ball. We go here and there. Hotel bills, foods, the fee, you got to do it. Ball, 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 ball. Man, that's all they talked about. What about if we talked about God, 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 God? Man, we got travel church, man. We're going to have travel church. Y'all pay a $500 fee, and then we'll take the chair every week. We'll meet somewhere else, and you get your own little bag to carry your Bible in. How about that? Huh? We'll have travel church. We'll meet somewhere, and everybody stay at a hotel. Would anybody sign up for that? Huh? Would anybody sign up for that and cough up $500 just to join and go every weekend? We'll go to a different spot. No. But boy, you mentioned ball. But just think if we put that much time, emphasis on the Word of God. And I'm not saying you can't do those things. But why can't you put that much emphasis on God? It's the Word of God. God. God Almighty, His Word. Why shouldn't we have an emphasis on that along with the other things that God allows us to do while we're down here on earth? Listen. Mothers, you need to spend some time with your children in the Word of God. Now, verse 16 says, all those scriptures, as I said, by the inspiration of God. What a thing to neglect the Word of God. What a thing to neglect what God has to say to us in Scripture. And then the last little point there is service. Is service as well. Verse 16 said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, which means mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, the scriptures, the Word of God is useful in every aspect of life. It says it's profitable for reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Now, you know, the thing about motherhood, and at least now if you had 19 children, I guess by the time you got to number 19, you might have it down pat. You know, raising them. But for a lot of people, you only have one child or two children even. You have them kind of close. You know, parenthood, mothers and fathers, it's like a one-time deal. You know, I mean, you don't have we got to back up and start over. You know how you got an eraser on things, but you don't have an eraser on life. Well, you know, and all of us would like to take our kids and say, look here, Sonny, we're backing up back here to about 5 more years and we're starting over. We're going to go back. We can't do that. But you know, God didn't leave us alone. What He did was, you know, He gave us the Word of God. Now, a lot of people, they make a lot of money on, you know, like parenting. Dr. Spock, I think, Benjamin Spock, whoever, wrote, you know, listen, you don't need Dr. Spock. All you have to have is the Word of God. The Word of God is good for reproof, which means showing anybody the error of their way, a children error way, correction, what's right, and instruction in righteousness. The Bible tells you how to be a parent. The Bible tells you how to be a child. The Bible tells you how to correct your children. A lot of folks need to read that. It's no time out in the Bible, man. It's put a rod on their backs. It works. It works. But the Bible, it teaches us about life, how to be an employee, how to be an employer, how to be a neighbor. Everything about life's in the Word of God. Why would we neglect the Word of God? Listen, it prepares us for things. And so all we need to do is look at the Word of God, because what happens is, you know, when you have your children, you got dreams. You know, you got dreams for them, and what you're hoping for them to do. Daryl and I were talking about that with these ball things. Everybody going crazy. They're trying to live their dream out in their children's lives and things a lot of times. But boy, what a dream. You know, you have a dream and you're raising your children. You want them to do right. You want them to be a good neighbor. You want them to have manners. You want them to treat other people with respect. You should. You want them to all those things. You're training your children for life. For life. We look to the Word of God, and Word of God has everything, but we don't know. See, I don't think that Timothy's mother knew what Timothy, she didn't know he was going to be a pastor. She didn't know what he was going to be in life. When I was a little boy, I can remember distinctly one time, I was probably about in the third grade, and I remember we were trotting in from recess, and I started thinking about this. I still remember this day. I thought, what am I going to be? I wonder where I'm going to be. And then when you're in the third grade, of course, everything's out there before you. You know, I'll be a fireman. I'll be a race car driver. I'll be a policeman. It's all out there and who cares? But as I got older, I still didn't have that nailed down in my mind. And I remember the real educated kids in my class, the ones that made really good grades, it was like their life was all laid out. Yeah, I'm going to graduate here and then I'm going to the university, blah, 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 whatever. And then I'm going to do this, and this. And what are you going to do? I don't know. I started like grabbing for straws, man. I got to have something to do. I said, well, I'm going to go over to the vocational school and I'm going to be, I'm going to work on, Caterpillar equipment, which is what I did for a while. So I'm going to do that. Got to have something, right? You don't know what, you're preparing for life or what you're going to do, whatever it is. And of course, there's the spiritual side of things, no matter what you do in the secular world, so to speak, or for your job, that our spiritual side that we have to cultivate and that we're trying to do as parents, but we don't know. We don't know what God has in store. Those of you that have younger, you don't know what God has in store for your child, but God has something in store for your child. God has something in store for you too. Whether you're fulfilling what God has for you, I don't know. But God has something for you. But I know no matter what, secular, spiritual, that you educate yourself or you train or you learn. And God, and you know what? Here it is, the Word of God and what it said there that what the Bible is, it's good for reproof. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. In other words, prepared for life. Prepared for life and prepared for whatever God has for you in life. Now, we can't back up, but we can go forward from this day forward. We can't back up and erase a lot. You can't erase a lot by backing up, though, but by making changes. I don't erase. I write in a pen, so on my notes are all their scribble marks. If I don't like the way I wrote something or I can't figure out how to spell a three-letter word, I scribble out and write it again. And that's what we can do. We can scribble out this part and say, hey, we're going this way. We're going to go the right way. Correction. That's what we can do. And so, the mothers, and I'll say this in closing, you don't know what kind of an impact that you have, but I want to say it's big. The impact you have on your life, your children's lives, even your spouse, your husband. Listen, it's a huge impact. But I want you, this is what we need to do as people, and not only the mothers, but we need to live a life of genuine, unhypocritical faith before the world, especially our children. She taught him the scriptures at a very early age. I read this one little thing I'll give you in closing, and I love to read the writings of this great Baptist preacher. If you can get your hands on anything, it's well worth reading. But G. Campbell Morgan got an awesome book on the book of Acts. He was a great Baptist preacher. He had four sons, and all four sons became preachers. And at a family reunion, a friend of one of the sons asked this question. He said, "Which Morgan is the greatest preacher?" With his eyes beaming with delight, the oldest son looked over to his father and said, "Why, it's mother." She was the greatest preacher in her family. Let's all stand, heads bowed.